Just please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8, where we're going to just cover a few verses before we get into our chapter 6 study today. And last week we covered the background of the Melchizedek and priesthood, which is going to come up again in chapter 7. And really, all of chapter 7 is what we covered last week, but the writer keeps on dropping this Melchizedek and priesthood on his audience, and so we had to kind of understand before we keep going through this. And so looking at chapter 5 verse 8, it says, though he was a son, though Jesus was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He suffered death on the cross on our behalf, in obedience to the Father. And having been perfected, meaning he completed his mission to save us, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing, which in chapter 6, verse 12, he says, sluggish. Now, how many of you want to go to heaven? Okay. I should have said, don't raise your hands, because we don't want the people to say, no, I don't want to go to heaven, to be embarrassed. A church service singled out. How many of you think that it's a really easy thing to do to get to heaven? It's just wide the way, the door is way open, the tent is huge to get into heaven. Nobody? You know why? Because Jesus said, narrow is the way. Narrow is the way, and few people get to heaven. And we wonder about how few. But see, the church today, the apostate church, is talking about open up the walls, you know, blow it up, you know, make the tent bigger. And God's sitting there going, no, it's stayed the same for 2,000 years. Narrow is the way that leads to salvation. And as he said at the, you know, called according to the order of Melchizedek, in whom we have much to say, He completed his mission, and people have become dull of hearing in the days of Hebrews. Dull of hearing, yeah, but we get persecuted if we get just nothing but Jesus. There's only one way into heaven, and it is through the door of the biblical Jesus. And you have to hold on to it as an anchor of your soul, it's going to say at the end of chapter 6. And we think that that's easy. It's not. Because it's a faith that you have to hold on to. And you can't just get mostly there. Okay, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe to salvation. There's believing and believing to salvation, as I've emphasized many times. And that's what this chapter is all about. And this chapter bugs a lot of people, because it seems like you can lose your salvation, which I don't believe. But it does point out that some people aren't really there when they think they're there. And it's going to define what it takes to be really there. Do you want to be really there? If you want to go to heaven, you have to want to be really there. And when Hebrews starts telling you what it takes to be really there, then you want to listen to that and make sure that you're all in with Jesus. And so that's what this chapter is about. We'll skip 12 through 14. Because we covered it last week. But chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to just read the chapter and then discuss. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again, and that perfection means the same thing as what I said earlier, completion, that you have completed, that you've gotten, not that you become perfect, but that you are truly there. You have completed your faith in Jesus. But let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptisms, laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. How many want to, you want to go to heaven? Yes. You want to be a herb or a briar? Do you want to be a thorn or an herb? Do you want to, and that's what this is talking about. So let's digest this. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, going back to that. And I want to, many commentators read these verses as it applies to the Christian church. Well, you know, you've been baptized. You got to move on from there. That's not what it's saying. And we're going to cover this because we can't forget the audience are Jews. They're Jews who have believed in God for their whole lives, supposedly. And now they hear about this Jesus, and they're there in Jerusalem, and they go, okay, we believe in Jesus. As James said in Acts chapter 22, there's a myriad of believers, but they still love the law. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, you got to give up the law of the religious system. You have to give the law of the priesthood of Aaron up. You have, see, we're really zealous for the religious part of Judaism that's been going on for 1500 years with Moses. And that's the audience, and we have to read it in context with that. So let's try. Therefore, leaving, you gotta get out of, as I've been emphasizing throughout this, you gotta get out of religion. And the discussion of elementary principles of Christ let us go on to perfection. Were the Jews into Christ? Were they into the idea of the Messiah? Even before Jesus came. Messiah's coming, Messiah's coming. In fact, some of the disciples, when they saw Jesus, before they were chosen to be the apostles, they, hey, we found him, we found the Messiah, because the Messiah is all over the Old Testament. Daniel even tells them when he's going to be coming. They say, you know, he'll come 483 years after the commandment to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah. And they realize, well, they're close to that time, and the Messiah, the Messiah. But they didn't believe in the Jesus Messiah. They wanted a different Messiah. They wanted one that wasn't going to turn over the tables of the money changers of the Jews. Instead, just go snuff the Romans. And so they were believing in a different Messiah. So you have to get, you Jews have to get completely away from just the idea of he's the Christ. The Christ is coming. You have to get into Jesus is the Christ. That's the difference. And a lot of people today, oh, I believe in Christ. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, they're an anointed one and somehow we're going to get to heaven. No, well, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to be saved? That apart from him, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven? Oh, no, I don't believe that. And most of the pastors in America don't believe that. Do you? Yeah, I do. Everybody? He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. No one gets to the Father except through him. So we got to leave the elementary principles of a Christ, and we have to get into the deepness of Jesus is the Christ. Let us go on to let's finish the job. As you've heard me say many times, all the time I'm asking people, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. And then they tell me they got baptized. Or they tell me they went to church. Or they tell me how they've done this and done that and been on mission trips. And yeah, God worked a miracle in my life, and so that's why I know I'm a Christian. That's like, have you ever gone off of a diving board? Well, I got up at once and I looked down at the water. See, true Christianity is like a diving board. And I remember with my boys, one of them was kind of bold to just get off the diving board. The other one was like, I've seen everybody else live jumping off the diving board, but I don't know that I'm going to live. And they just get up there, they get up, and I'm down there, and I go, I can catch you, I'll grab you, there's no way you're going to die. And they look, and, you know, he just looks over and just couldn't go up. Couldn't dive off. And then finally, he dove. And that's what it is with Christianity. So many people play around with being on the diving board, church, playing church, doing this, but I'm not going to take the plunge for Jesus because you can't go halfway down and change your mind. You're going to hit the water. You're going to find out for sure what you really believe. And then you realize, wow, I took the plunge with the biblical Jesus and wow, I feel the Holy Spirit has given me life. And then you're saved. Then you know nothing can take that away. It's the same thing. So, Did the Pharisees believe in the Messiah? Absolutely. Did the disciples believe in Messiah? Yes. But even until he rose from the grave, they were in it to a different Messiah than what Jesus came to be the Messiah as. In fact, it was Eve. They still didn't even figure it out as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. Because now, Jesus, wait a second. Wait, you're talking about leaving, but we got plans for you. Are you going to set up your kingdom now here on earth? And Jesus, I wonder what he looked like, Adam. It was like, have you guys listened? I told you this city's going to be destroyed. I've told you it's going to be surrounded by armies. And you're going to be scattered through all the nations of the world. And all these things are going to happen before my second coming. Aren't you listening? And we have a trouble listening to the things that Jesus has said to us, as the church has had a hard time listening to what he says. Then the next one, not laying again the foundation, the start of a building, of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Did the Jews believe in repentance, turning away from their sins? Yes, it was part of their law. I have to turn away from that, go and sacrifice an animal. And because that was my dead work, that was my sinfulness, and I'm going to have faith towards the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yep, but you mean replace the animal sacrifice and the Aaronic priesthood and the temple and all the traditions and all that with just believe in Jesus? Just believe in him? No, I'll stick with the foundation. I'll stick with the foundation was laid to build the building of faith in Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile, straight to God, no middlemen. But they want to just stick with the foundation, not laying it again. And it's all about having faith in Jesus as our Savior. What did Jesus say? You believe in God? You have faith in God? We have faith towards God. You believe in God? What? Believe also in me. He actually says, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you can be also. So we can't just believe in God. We have to believe in the biblical Jesus. They're all about having faith in God, but not Jesus as a Savior. Of the doctrine of baptisms, were the Jews in? Is this talking about Christian baptism? No. For those of you that went to Israel, did you go to the south side of the Temple Mount? You know, a bunch of the people here went to Israel. You went to the south side of the Temple Mount. What did you see? Just mikvahs. You saw all this baptismal stuff on the south side. Because the Jews were into baptisms. They were into washings. If you wanted to go up to the Temple Mount, you had to get yourself all cleansed. And so they filled up these little pools called mikvahs, baptismals. And they would walk down the steps, get completely immersed, go out, and then they go up onto the Temple Mount because they're ceremonially cleaned by those mikvahs. They're all into it. And these mikvahs date to the time of Jesus on the south side of the Temple Mount. The doctrine of baptism is the laying on of hands. They laid the hands on to the Aaronic priesthood to ordain them as Aaronic priests. It's not talking about Christians laying hands on each other for church leadership. He's talking to Hebrews. Of the resurrection of the dead. Did the Jews believe in the resurrection of the dead? Okay, good. You guys pointed out there was the Sadducees who didn't. And the Pharisees hated the Sadducees doctrinally because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And in fact, one of the rare times the Pharisees liked Jesus was because he put the Sadducees down by telling, you don't understand the scripture, the power of God. Because God said at the burning bush, he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when he spoke to Moses. Therefore, he's the God of the living, not of the dead. Don't you understand? And the Pharisees are going, wow, good. He beat down the Sadducees. All but the Sadducees believed in the resurrection from the dead. Even when Lazarus died, I remember Martha goes to Jesus. Jesus, if you just would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, he's going to live. And he goes, yeah, I know in the resurrection. I know in the resurrection he's going to live. And what did Jesus say? I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the one that brings life. And so I believe in the resurrection. Do you believe Jesus is the resurrection? You better say yes, Because if you don't say yes, you haven't dived off the diving board yet. You're not there with Jesus. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. It's got to be all about Jesus. And in fact, when Jesus said to the crowds that are just following, all this myriad of people following him, he says, but unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And then a bunch of them left. He's saying, you've got to be all in on me. You have to be all, you should all be accused easily by your friends, neighbors, coworkers, and everything else. Man, what do you think about them? They are just so into this Jesus. That's what you should be. Because that's what it is. That's when you know is that your life is truly hidden in Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Of the doctrine of baptism, laying on hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Do the Jews believe in eternal judgment? Yes. And this we will do if God permits. Let's leave grade school of Judaism, which promised graduate program, when the Messiah came and you believe in him and you have everlasting life. Let's go from religion to a relationship with God through the only God-man, Savior, Messiah that God sent or will ever send to get us to have life. And verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, it's impossible to renew them, but we're going to stop there. They're done. You can't. They're not going to get saved. If they depart from these things after tasting of it, then they're not going to be there. Let's look at these. Enlightened. Were the Jews enlightened to the gospel of salvation? They watched it. They watched it come. They were enlightened. All the Jews would have heard this Jesus. He healed the dead. He raised the sick. He opened the eyes of the blind. He created food out of nothing. He walked on the water of the Sea of Galilee. He put down every argument that the Pharisees and the scribes put to him. He offered up his life after raising Lazarus from the dead, calls him out of the tomb. He comes just as a human being wrapped up in his grave clothes and just kind of somehow gravitated out. And then he says, loose him from his grave clothes. Lazarus didn't walk out. Jesus said, open the door. And then just Lazarus comes out still wrapped in his grave clothes and then loose him. And all these things that they saw, in fulfillment of all the scriptures that they had. And then when the scribes and Pharisees said, pay these guys off to say the disciples stole away his body at the resurrection, they want to believe the lie instead of the truth. Because why? We see several times in the scriptures, they didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. They feared man more than God. Many of the Pharisees believed in him. Many of the religious leaders believed in him, but secretly because they feared being kicked out of the synagogue. You want to be a true Jesus-loving, Jesus-freak Christian in this day to day, you're going to get kicked out of a lot of things. And you know, if that bothers you, and you want to shirk away like the Pharisees that believed but didn't say anything, you want to just compromise and everything, well then, you better wonder whether or not you really took the dive. Because when you take the dive and you realize nothing matters, this is eternity we're talking about. This is everlasting life. How can I? I want to go back, you know, back to the world, back to Egypt, like Brian was talking about all the Jews that wanted to go back to Egypt. They were enlightened. Did they taste of the heavenly gift? They tasted, you know, hey, eternal life. They saw what Jesus did to bring, you know, again, Lazarus to the grave. They tasted, but they didn't inhale. And everybody is laughing. You remember Bill Clinton. You ever smoked marijuana? Well, yeah, but I didn't inhale. You ever been into Jesus? Yeah, but I didn't take him in. I didn't inhale. I just tasted. Yeah. Yeah, you go into Baskin Robbins and you just taste everything. Well, aren't you going to just pick a flavor and get it? Now, I just wanted to taste Buddhism, Mormonism, Confucianism. I just tasted everything. I get a little bit of everything in my diet, so I don't want to just commit to one. You know what? We got to commit to one. And you know what it is? Ice cream-wise? Rocky Road. You gotta be willing to travel the rocky road. Because the rocky road is coming. Just like I said that here in our own county, they're trying to hide from parents that their children are getting gender confused in the school. And if you go make a stink, you're gonna be on a rocky road with the world. I'm actually thinking of making an appointment. Actually. Okay. And technically, we should all go to a school board meeting. We should all, and I'm not really going to change your mind because the whole world's under the sway of the wicked one. You've got some serious spiritual delusion going on, but I want you to know, I'm only saying this so this hits into your eardrums, goes into your brain, that you will answer to the creator of the universe on the day of judgment. And whatever accolades you get from everybody and whatever extra money you get from George Soros or whatever else, this corruption that's just sweeping into our educational system, it's all going to be meaningless for a very long time. And just, the Bible says, if you see danger coming and you don't warn people, then the blood's on our head too. We should all be making calls, doing that. Anybody wants to make an appointment, I'll go with you, let you know. I mean, this is, and we'll be hated. They'll be thinking we're crazy, but we're telling them the truth. And why do we even want to say this? Because we know Jesus is the way, the truth. We know what Jesus says about this subject. We know that he hates the evil and the wickedness that's being perpetrated on children through sex trafficking, gender confusion, and all this educational stuff. It grieves him to the depths to watch this evil sweep into our world. So, tasted, but they didn't take it in. Partakers of the Holy Spirit. Now, the partakers in 2 Corinthians 6:14, that word partakers is translated fellowship in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness. So yeah, I'll go along with all, he's writing to the Hebrew church in Jerusalem that went before the persecution got really ramped up. I'm a Christian too. I'm a believer in Jesus. Yeah, Jesus was really a nice guy. And he was our Messiah, and he ascended into heaven. But let's just, keep doing the temple worship and the Aaronic priesthood stuff, and everything's okay. So you're going along, but you're not all in. You're in fellowship with it. It's like people. Does the Bible tell us in the last days the church will be infiltrated by wolves in sheep's clothing? But they come in. And they fellowship with you. They're partakers of the message of the Holy Spirit speaking about Jesus, but they're not takers of it. They're not possessors. They're partakers, but not possessors. We want to be possessed, don't we? What do you think about possession? Oh, I'm possessed. Really? Not by Satan. I'm possessed by Jesus, and I'm all in on Jesus. I know he's taken over my life, and I'm really glad he did. And have tasted the good, again, just talking about, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. But they didn't fully embrace it. Hebrews 6:4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. And then go to verse 6 again. For it's impossible if they were enlightened in these things, tasting, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. The writer of Hebrews is saying, the temple stuff is over. Don't go to the Aaronic priesthood. You're done. You're done with foundation and playing around with religion. if you go sacrifice a bull and a goat, it's impossible to renew you again. You are literally saying that blood of the bull and goat and the priesthood is more important than what Jesus did on the cross. If you can be forgiven by a bull and a goat, why did Jesus have to come? He doesn't have to come. If he doesn't have to come, well then, crucify him. Get him out of here. That's what the scribes and Pharisees said. We want to keep our religious system. We don't want this Jesus rocking the boat, saying he's the Son of God and the Messiah. And so get out of our life, crucify him, back to religion. And that's what the world is doing today. The Christian world is going back away from this narrow-minded, Jesus is the only way gospel. And what the Bible says is it's impossible to renew them again. Kevin, why, you know, and there's people say, have I forgiven, have I done the unforgivable sin because I gave my life to Jesus, but I stumbled into this and that in the world, and I was baptized even, but I started drinking again, and I fell into drunkenness, and I just, or immorality, and it's impossible to restore me. Not what it's talking about. It's talking about the religious system. See, if you have become a true born-again believer, you're going to be really grieved that you got back into drunkenness. You're going to be really grieved that you're back into sexual immorality. And by the fact that you're confessing, I've offended God and pray for me and everything else is proof that you're a Christian, because we're not perfect in what we do with our life, but we can be perfect, complete in what we believe about Jesus. We can trust in him. We can know him. And we're all going to struggle with different sins that keep coming into our life. But we don't ever compromise on he is my Lord and he's my Savior. He possesses me and he's not done with me yet. And I'm a tougher building to build than most people, but he is still working on me. And we can live and work and serve him. But I am going to confess Jesus to my death as my Savior, the biblical Jesus. And that's what this is. That's true Christianity. This is talking about going back to the priesthood, going back to bulls and goats, going back to Roman Catholicism, Buddhism, Hinduism, going back to religious practices instead of Jesus. And that we can't do. Is that happening? And, you know, I know Rick Warren's an old, you know, he's old news, Kevin. But he did so much damage. And what's really been amazing to me, when Rick Warren's books were first coming out, I had actually church leadership at the time with me saying, Kevin, you're missing something. You're missing purpose-driven life. You're missing, you know, the church is going to suffer. Can grow. We can grow and be big if we just jump on this. And I mean, everything in me was like, no, it's, you know, it's not purpose. God didn't come to give us purpose in life. He came to die on the cross so that we could have everlasting life. And then we're just his slave to do something. And then I said, okay, I'll read the book. Gave me a book, first page. You know, I'm so thankful to all these men that gave me this understanding, and I praise God that I can pass it on to you. Does that sound blasphemous to you?
Yes.
Think about this. I'm thankful to men who gave me wisdom, men's wisdom, and I thank God that I can give it to you. And there's no God, and I put it down, I said, I can't read it. Oh, at least read the first chapter. Not, there's no gospel in there. There's no gospel of Jesus in there. And yet, tens of thousands of churches replaced the Bible with his book as they went through weeks of presenting that. Now, you might have been a great fan, and I'm going to warn you, if you were a great fan of that, then there's something seriously wrong with your discernment and your being all in on Jesus. Because, in fact, when I was in Phoenix, there was a lady that had a tattoo with a cross at the end, and this writing, she was moving her arm too fast, taking my order. I go, stop, wait, what does it say? You know, he gave me purpose. And I just grieved. I gave her a track. I gave her our track. He gave me everlasting life. He forgave me my sins. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And see, what Rick did is, Pastor Warren, America's pastor, said, as long as you find purpose where you're helping people, then you're okay. I mean, that's like, as long as I find my purpose in life, I'm okay. No, you're not. Not according to Hebrews, not according to the book of Hebrews, not according to Jesus, not according to any of the Gospels. You're not okay until you have gotten on your knees, confessed to Jesus, I'm a sinner on my way to hell, and I need to plunge into, you are the only reason I can be in heaven because you died on the cross for my sins and you took my sins upon yourself. And you're giving me forgiveness as you take the just punishment for my sin upon yourself on the cross. And I'm going to confess you until the day I die. Then you're okay with God. Well, 8 years ago, I'm just going to read this because it totally fits with our study. Warren, senior pastor of Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, he's not pastor there anymore, was then expected to head to Philadelphia, where he will speak Friday morning along with Catholic Cardinal Sheen O'Malley of Boston during Pope Francis's World Meeting of Families. So Pope Francis, Jesuit priest, Jesuits, their mission has been for hundreds of years to bring the world back under the authority of the Pope and the Catholic Church. That's their mission. And first Jesuit priest, Pope. And so he's the guy. He's going to unify us all. And he wanted to go speak at that. And he was allowed to speak. And then he says, I'm not a Catholic, and we have many differences with Catholics, but they love the Lord. Lie. How do we know that? Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. And you know what Jesus says, both in the Old Testament, New Testament, because he is the Word of God? Don't worship idols. And you know what he says in the book of Hebrews? Don't have false priesthoods, or you're lost. You can't have a false priesthood. You can't have any sacrificial system. You can't have any idols that, you know, this idol gets me to the place I need to go to because he's dancing around in my car dashboard, or any of the other things that are going on. That a priest, because he waves the incense altar at me at my deathbed, then all of a sudden that's what's going to save me instead of Jesus. Not all in on Jesus. And therefore you don't love God. Because again, you believe in God, believe also in me. If you love me, you'll do what I say. Love God. They love the Lord. And we have much in common with that. We believe in the Bible. Did the scribes and Pharisees believe in the Bible? Yeah, they believed in the Bible. They rejected Jesus, who was prophesied to come in the Bible, but they rejected the parts of the Bible that didn't go along with their religion. They believe in the Bible unless it contradicts, which is why we're going to teach on how we got our English Bible, which is why they had to keep the Bible out of the common man's hands as they started preaching that you go to purgatory and you have to be bought out with indulgences and everything else when they perpetrated all that on the millions of people that they ruled over in the Dark Ages. They invented purgatory. They believe in the Trinity. No, they don't. They believe in the quadrinity. Mary, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in Jesus, not the biblical Jesus, they don't believe in. So in other words, this man came into the church, replaced the Bible with his book. There was an ecumenical, can't we all get along, by just everybody. He said, you know, it's time to be done with doctrine and just do deeds. The Christians have to just do deeds and get done with doctrine. The doctrine of salvation, he was saying. That's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And most of the people didn't see it. Warren said when he announced news to his congregation last month, and then, this is another one from Lighthouse Trails Research. Basically, what I just quoted came from the OrangeCountyRegister.com back in 2015, which I just read you. That was the local paper, Orange County paper. This one is from Lighthouse Trails Research, Roger Oakland. Then he said, this is a quote from that. Well, the main thing is love always reaches people. This is a quote of Rick Warren. Authenticity, humility. Pope Francis is a perfect example of this. He is doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. What did Jesus say? Did he say you need to go out there and be liked by the world? You know what he said? He actually said, be watchful if they like you. If they like you, if the world likes you, then you've got a problem because they like the false prophets of the day. He says, blessed are you when they hate you, despitefully use you and persecute you for my name's sake. Because when you say Jesus, Yeshua, which means God's salvation, when you say this man is Jesus, he's the only way to be saved, and everybody else is believing a lie, they're going to hate you. Anybody says we're supposed to jump up and down and be happy when they hate us, because you're all in. You're all in and you're going to go to heaven forever with Jesus. He's doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. And as our new pope, not their new pope, Rick Warren's pope, he said the same thing. He's doing a great job. He's my pope. He was very, very symbolic in, you know, his first mass with people with AIDS. Now, what's mass? Mass is when Catholic priest takes the bread and the juice, turns it in by their miraculous power of priesthood, false priesthood, into the literal body and literal blood of Jesus. Only the priest, Catholic priest, can do that. To then, as you take it, you're closer to being able to maybe spend less time in purgatory. I'm not exaggerating. Every Catholic here knows that's what Catholicism teaches. And so he did a mass for all these people. He's deceiving them by saying that, because as soon as I believe and trust in Jesus, I don't need any priest. I don't need any wafers. I'm just remembering through the bread and the cup what Jesus did to give me access to heaven instantly. And I know I'm not going to some purgatory because it's not in the Bible. And I know it's a lie from Satan to deceive a billion people on planet Earth today. But we know he's a good pope because he does a mass with people with AIDS. He actually distributed mass to people that had a disease. And his kissing of the deformed man, his loving the children, his authenticity, this humility, the caring for the poor, this is what the whole world expects us Christians to do. Be nice. Make the world love you. Kiss the babies. Do all these things. Is that what Jesus wants Christians to do? I mean, we can do them. But what's really the message? Why did Jesus leave us here? Teach them all that he had commanded. And, I will be with you to the end of time, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teaching them, commanding them what it takes to get to heaven. And when they go, that's what a Christian does. In fact, and then they'll say, that's what a Christian does. In fact, there was a headline here in Orange County, and I love the headline. It said, if you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus. Now, I mean, somebody could say, Kevin, we want your name on that quote. If you love Pope Francis, you love Jesus. And I'd say, go ahead and just put a bullet in my head or whatever you want to do. I couldn't possibly do that in light of the book of Hebrews. I am still at foundation phase. I am not all in with Jesus. I am willing to compromise so that the world will love me. So that the world will accolade me. At least he's not a fanatic about Jesus. It's okay to be a fanatic about Jesus. You're going to be joining all the angels doing it for all of eternity. Read what it says in Revelation. The angels are falling down before God constantly. Verse 4 again. For it is impossible if they fall away to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. And how is it impossible? Because they already had it in their head. Rick Warren, read John. Read John 3:16. It's contrary to what the Pope says. I've read it, Kevin, dozens of times. No, I've got a better plan. I'm a millionaire. Do you know how many books I've sold? I'm the world's pastor. What are you talking about? Christianity's never been so accepted since I wrote that book, and now people are doing deeds, and Christianity is just really so embellished. Not biblical Christianity. Christianity in name, quotation marks. Yeah, they said crucify him because they didn't want Jesus. For the earth drinks in the rain, often it comes upon it, bears herbs useful for those whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. God rains the truth of the salvation gospel to everybody. What we do with that rain and the nutrients of the soil is up to us. If that rain of God's word and his promises of everlasting life through his narrow plan brings to us saving faith. God, I don't care what the world says, and we come to saving faith in Jesus, then we're going to grow. We're going to be fruitful. Just like the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. But if it bears thorns and briars, is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. There's an alternative. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Jesus said, in the eternal lake of fire. And as Brian said during worship, God doesn't send people to hell. That Mormon I talked to in Phoenix, he used to be a Christian, going to church. But when he was in a Bible study where the person was asked, the person leading the Bible study was asked, well, what about the people in Africa who don't hear anything about Jesus? What happens to them? And when the person, in ignorance, because they didn't fully answer the question like Romans 1 through 3 would say, but said, well, if they don't believe in Jesus, they're going to go to hell, which there's more to that. But he says, well, if God's going to send them to hell, then I'm not going to be this. And so he jumped into Mormonism, which I can't believe there, with all the problems there. But anyway, God doesn't send people to hell. And people then in Africa that don't hear about Jesus, they can hear about it in dreams and visions. They can, just like me, my friends were all in on, let's sniff glue, let's steal from people, let's do this, let's do that, let's destroy their property in the middle of the night and steal from their cars and everything. And they were all in with it, and I was just like, man, what are we doing? What are we doing? I don't want this to be my life. Come on, Kevin, lighten up. You're always so serious. Smoke a joint. And yet I was seeking, and God brought me to people telling me the Word of God. Because I was living in a country that had the Word of God. If I'm living in a country that doesn't have the Word of God, I would have still said, as I did, I climbed up in a tree and would say, God, show me the way. And I didn't even officially believe in God. I believed in reincarnation. But the other guys would get away, we'd fence our stolen stuff there and sniff glue, and I, go ahead, go home, and I climb up in this tree and say, God, something's wrong. When my dad passed away, my sons were with us at the memorial service, and I took them to my tree. And they both climbed up in it. This monster tree, just monster tree on the bottom. And the branch was as big as a tree here, and I would climb up and just lay down. And on one of the times I went home after I got saved, I told my dad, I told him about my tree as a way to witness to him. And I'm going to go to my tree and borrow his car to go to the tree. And I went up, and I'm climbing up, and somebody put a piece of plywood out on that same horizontal branch that then had an upward part, which is a great place to lay up in a tree, and had plywood with carpet on it. And I just go, wow, somebody realized how cool of a tree this is to just crawl up and sit there. I did it to talk to God. And I wonder what they did. But I prayed for that person. Whoever did this, God, whoever took the time to do this, show them as well, If they don't know you, then show them. Now, by the time that was a long time ago. By the time my sons crawled up on it, they were hitting the nails of the rotted plywood and the nails that were there. But it was still, the plywood was still there in a rotted way in the carpet. And so that's our answer to people. You know what? God, you know what the truth is, so you're without excuse. God will take care of the people in Africa, but the bottom line is you humble yourself to not think you're going to become a God. You humble yourself to say, I'm not God. I know there is a God. And I need to get right with him because I am sinning and I'm going to go to hell. And then you'll find him. That's what causes all people to find God, whether they're pygmies in Africa or aborigines in Australia or wherever else. But very few people humble themselves. Very few people become broken of their sin and get all in on Jesus. But I hope everybody here does. But beloved, verse 9, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. And I'll say that here. I hope this does not apply to anybody here. And because, yes, things that accompany salvation, true salvation. Though we speak in this manner. And why did he speak in the manner? Because he wanted to warn everybody for 2,000 years. And he's warning us today. You have to be all in on the true biblical Jesus. For God is not unjust to forget your work of faith, your labor of love, self-sacrificing love, which you have shown toward what? His name. What's his name again? Yeshua. What's Yeshua mean? God's salvation. You have your work and your labor of love by saying God's salvation is Jesus. In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance. People wonder whether or not they're saved. And what he's saying is, you know, you need to make sure you've left the diving board and you got baptized into Jesus so that you have full assurance of hope until the end. Until the end of what? Till the end of your life. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, which in chapter 11, you know what he's going to do? He's going to rattle off to this same audience that is becoming sluggish. Some of them are sluggish. Some of them are not all in. Some of them are thinking to go back to religion, to get rid of the persecution. And he says, look at chapter 11. Look at all the men and women of faith throughout all of history, how the things that they endured for the faith, the true saving faith, Old Testament, of what it is to be all in on Jesus. You know, again in chapter 5, verse 11, it was dull, sluggish, dull of hearing. So it seems to me that so many, quote, Christians, American Christians, Western Christians, are just like, I just don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear this narrow-minded gospel, dull of hearing. I'd rather go to a feel-good church. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're going to go to heaven. Is that worthwhile? For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself saying, surely blessing I will bless you and multiplying I will multiply you. And turn to Genesis 22:13. That's a parallel passage for this. And think about Abraham being all in. Because how long did he wait to have a son? He was told when he was 75 years old, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have descendants that are going to populate the world. Your descendants and a Messiah is going to come through your descendants. That was when he was 75. He had no children until he was 100. Then he had only one son, Isaac. And then God tells him, I want you to go take Isaac and sacrifice him. The Jews hate that section of scripture because why would God tell Abraham, our patriarch, to go sacrifice his kid when everything in the rest of the Bible says don't sacrifice your child? Well, because God was pointing to his son Jesus. Now, Abraham's all in when he's willing to stab his son. After, you know, 3 days' journey where he goes to Mount Moriah, which is Jerusalem Temple Mount. So he takes his son 3 days to get to Jerusalem Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, probably exactly where Jesus was crucified. And he's lifting the knife to stab his child. Hebrews chapter 11 is going to say, because he knows, I'm just going to obey God. Because he's promised me I'm going to have descendants and the Messiah is going to come and all the nations are going to be blessed by their descendants. And that's not going to happen if I kill him. So if I kill him, God has to raise him from the grave. And then because right when he's ready to sacrifice his son, God says, okay, stop. Because this is going to be recorded in history as the object lesson, because 2,000 years later, God the Father is going to allow the Roman spear to go into his son, and he's not going to withhold the spear. He's going to sacrifice his son for the sins of the world. And I wanted to show the world this object lesson right here. And so here's a ram caught in the thicket that you don't actually kill Isaac. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place. Now this is important. The Lord will provide. He didn't say, wow, I'm glad the Lord provided a ram. He said, the Lord will provide. He was looking into the future. He knew what was going to happen. We'll prove that in a second. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. In this same mount, God is going to provide himself a sacrifice. 2,000 years later, Jesus. Then the angel of the Lord, verse 15, and when it says the angel of the Lord, that means the word of God. You know, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Jesus is the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he was the word of God. He was Jesus before the manger. The word of God came into the manger to become Jesus. But Jesus, before the manger, called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants. That's what's quoted in Hebrews. Descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies in your seed. And Galatians, Paul makes it important to say that that is singular seed. In your seed, the Messiah Jesus, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. So, see, Abraham might not have been all in. See, God told him the same promise close to 40 years earlier. Close to 40 years earlier, he gave Abraham the same promise. You know, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed by you. So if Abraham says, I'm not going to kill my son. You made me a promise in chapter 12, and so I'm not going to kill my son. I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. That didn't happen, fortunately, because he was all in. He goes, God, you're God. Whatever you say goes, I don't care. And then we'll close with John 8:54. And actually, we didn't even get to the anchor of our soul, but we ran out of time here. We didn't even do chapter 7, did we? 8:54. Jesus answered to the scribes and Pharisees that hated him, wanted to kill him already. If I honor myself, you know, saying, you honor yourself. No, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is the Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. You say you believe in God, but you don't believe in the real God. You lay down a foundation of Judaism of God, but you don't want to listen to his promises of a Messiah that you have to answer to. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. You don't have a relationship, but I do. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Was Jesus really trying to be one of those? You know, what would Rick Warren write about Jesus? Man, yeah, he's not a Christian. He doesn't have the right attitude. Look at the way he talks to people. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And you know when that happened? Genesis 22. In other words, this is it. Does it's not perfectly clear in Scripture, except it's really hinted at here. As soon as Abraham was ready to kill his son, and the ram was provided instead, and that whole dialogue we just read in Genesis, God said, "Now let me explain to you why I did this," and translated him into the future, 2,000 years in the future, and said, "Right here, on this same place, I'm going to sacrifice my son for the sins of the world, Jew and Gentile. And this is how your seed is going to bless all the people in the world." And Abraham goes, "Whoa, let me write down that on this mount it shall be provided. I'm going to write that down. God is going to provide himself a sacrifice, and he's going to die for the sins of the world. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." He saw it. He actually got translated. He saw it, and he was glad. Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And that's what God said to Moses at the burning bush when Moses said, "Who do I tell the Jews has sent me? When I go back to Egypt, tell them I am has sent. I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you." Because he's not was, is to come. He's the eternal I am. He used the term of I am God. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why did they throw stones at him? Because they weren't all in. Because they wanted religion instead of a relationship with God. They didn't want a Savior. They thought they were good Jews and they didn't need a Savior. They had a good rapport with the people except for the Romans. And even the Romans that they controlled were okay with them. They just weren't into, "I'm a sinner in need of a Savior." So they were not even going to go to the baptism of John the Baptist to say that they're a sinner publicly because we're good people. So the verse that we were going to get to, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. What hope? The hope that Jesus saves me is an anchor. And what do you need an anchor for? You need an anchor for when the storm comes, keep your boat from floating away. And we don't want to float away. The world wants us to float away. There's danger coming. There's bank collapse this last week. They think many more. The whole financial system could be going down. We could go to a central bank digital currency in short order. And they could be saying, "You can get your universal basic income this month if you're not one of them. If you are all in on the social agenda, if you're this, if you're that." And we have to just be willing to say, "I don't care. I don't care about what anything else is happening in the world. Me and my Jesus are going to stay faithful to the mission of his name until he takes me home or until they help me get there." Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us to not be ones to shirk away, that you would help us to just maintain the biblical gospel of the biblical Jesus to those that we come across, to warn them of the peril that is coming if they don't believe and trust in you. And we just pray that you would help us to be filled with the Spirit in a special way in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand.
Seeks to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging. every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
That's a neat picture. That goat was, he was just totally trusting in that rock, wasn't he? And we got to trust in our rock. No matter how scary it looks, we keep standing on the rock. God bless you. Keep you in his care.